Biden and Johnson tap into post-wartime spirit with a new Atlantic charter. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Vishala Sripathma in for Victoria Craig. Good morning. British Prime Minister Boris Johnson and President Biden will attempt to recreate history later today by signing a new Atlantic charter in an attempt to show UK and US leadership can frame a post-COVID order in the same way their predecessors, Winston Churchill and Franklin D. Roosevelt, did in 1941 during the Second World War. Mr. Johnson is hoping to be the host with the most, setting out his vision and affirming Britain's place in the world. The timing is not lost on him.
This is an amazing opportunity for the world. It's a big moment. It's the first time any of us really have been able to see each other face to face since the pandemic began.
Boris Johnson there. The leaders will meet ahead of the G7 summit in Cornwall to discuss travel, trade and technology. But don't hold your breath waiting for the detail, explains David Hennig, co-founder of the UK Trade Forum think tank.
I think the UK is keen, really, to bring the US back into the global trading system after the Trump experience. So I think he will want to see a US commitment to the World Trade Organization. And I think Biden wants to ensure that that is as part of a united front against what he would see as unfair practices from China. So I think both sides are pretty much on the same sort of agenda, but perhaps the UK line will be more in favour of institutions such as the World Trade Organization and, of course, a UK-US trade deal. Whereas I think Biden is prepared to look more widely at different options as to how you might achieve that. So it's an interesting time in trade. I think there's a lot being brought to the table and we're not quite sure where it's all going to land.
There's been lots of talk about travel reopening between the two countries. Is it likely that we could hear about a travel corridor being established between the two?
It seems more that a task force will be established rather than an announcement of an immediate reopening. And I think that will be a disappointment to a large number of businesses who were hoping that the summit would mark the point at which the North Atlantic travel corridor, which is a very important travel corridor, would be reopened. But yesterday there was talk of a task force instead. So it seems like that will take a little bit longer.
David Hennig, director of the UK Trade Policy Project. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
It's a big day for the markets, with US inflation figures due out later and the European Central Bank releasing its latest monetary policy decision. And it's also giving its view on the Eurozone recovery. Elsewhere, travel and hospitality stocks are lower in London because of uncertainty around whether the UK will end lockdown restrictions on the 21st of June. Cyber attacks have become more frequent during lockdowns as people work from home and internet connections become more vulnerable. Well, JBS, the world's biggest meatpacking company, found itself the victim of such an attack, which even led to them paying a ransom of $11 million, an eye-watering amount there. The Brazilian headquartered firm had to temporarily shut down plants in Canada and Australia, and cattle slaughtering was suspended for the day in the US. So why did JBS decide to pay? The BBC's Rory Gillamore has this report.
Cyber breaches like these often leave companies scrambling to assess the damage before being drawn into the shadowy process of negotiating with the attackers. JBS's chief executive in the United States, Andre Nogueira, described the decision to pay as very difficult, but he said it was the right thing to do to prevent any risk to customers. The transaction was reportedly made using Bitcoin. JBS says its investigations so far show no data has been compromised. Last week, the FBI blamed a notorious group based in Russia for the attack, saying it was working to bring the hackers to justice.
Rory Gillamore reporting there. Turning our attention to Africa now, and Zimbabwe, which has one of the highest unemployment rates among young people, about 28% according to the International Labour Organization. It's a figure that's disputed given that the majority of work in the informal sector is for little reward. But there are green shoots of hope, as the BBC's Shingai Enyoka reports.
From its studio in a dark graffitied corridor, Chillspot produced 800 singles last year. It was down 20% from the previous year because of COVID. Masendeke, in his bright yellow beanie, is streets ahead of the others. Producers believe he's on the verge of his big break.
I want to reach the levels of the top stars so I can make a living and take care of my younger relatives. I want to walk into a shop and have the money to buy what I want.
But even before the pandemic, work opportunities were drying up, the result of a decades-long economic collapse. The street-side informal stores in Bare of welders, furniture makers, mask the staggering unemployment statistics. Less than a quarter of Zimbabweans have formal jobs, and young people are disproportionately affected.
We literally tripled our finances last year than the year before in the time of COVID.
Kuda Maxwell, a 23-year-old self-taught animator, is bucking the trend. He started K-Kick Universe 3 years ago, and business is on the up.
COVID actually created an opportunity for our business. And so a lot of people realized they didn't have websites, they didn't have content for social media, which is what we do.
His company employs 15 people, including Rufaro Tafa.
At my age, my mom was working a good job. She could buy groceries for her mother. She could sustain herself. At my age, I'm like scrambling to see what I can put together to make a living for myself.
Staying at home and social distancing.
We don't need to wait to be told what to do, because we've been trying to do it, and now we're just picking up momentum and collaborating and building bigger things.
In Harare, I'm the BBC's Shingai Nyoka for Marketplace.
And before we go, retailers are hoping to make up for lost time this summer. A trend that's expected to grab attention will be high-heeled Crocs. That's right, rubber clogs with heels on them. Even the designer Balenciaga is launching its own range. In London, I'm Vishala Sripathna with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.